This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Tuesday, March 19th, Jason Moore is back in the building.
I'm happy to be here. Thrilled to be here. Missed being here.
We missed you. I know a lot of people wanted your reactions to truly some free agent madness. I mean, it was a busy year.
Yeah.
Still is.
I've caught back up on everything. I've stayed in tune every
yes.
day. I was not just gone from the earth.
No, and, you were there. You were tweeting about Justin Fields.
Oh, yeah. And as of this moment, I don't know who plays where. No, it's impossible to tell.
We don't know. Nobody here knows. We're just rooting. You just draft wide receiver one for the Falcons. That's what you do now. but no Mike today. Jay Grizz filling in. But we have a lot to talk about. Got more news that broke over the weekend. I'm going to force Jason to share his now contemplative thoughts on the things that have happened. I mean, we were just reacting. Mike and I were here last week, and it was just boom, bam, like on the show live. I know you don't listen to the podcast, but
no, I would never.
On the show live, Mike found out
the Derrick Henry news.
Yeah, that Derrick Henry had signed with the team he wanted him to sign with.
I did know that because when the Derrick Henry news broke, I was watching the Slack channel while you guys were recording the show.
Oh, okay.
Oh man, that's got to be a good moment.
Oh, it was. Mike was very happy, very pleased. We had just got done. Literally, I went through every team in the NFL and whether or not, like I was trying to calm him down about potential destinations, and we just got through every team, and it happened right then. Derrick Henry in Baltimore, just one of many huge news stories. Before we jump in, I want to remind you, ultimatedraftkit.com, it's all updated, the UDK Plus, the Dynasty Pass. Get in there, get the mobile app.
I just updated Dynasty startup rankings this morning based on all the news. We're never leaving it static.
No, we were having some discussions, debates on where Kelsey fits in the Dynasty tight end rankings because that's a tough one because you know that the years, it could be one more year.
The most entertaining version of the where does Kelsey slide in Dynasty is the Kelsey versus Pitts. That to me has gone back and forth so many times over the years. I remember when Pitts was coming out as a rookie offering Travis Kelsey and a one for Kyle Pitts.
Rejected?
And getting turned down. Thank goodness, because we won some championships with Kelsey.
There's a good Dynasty life cycle of tight ends article in the UDK Plus. You can check out all those resources for the draft kit at ultimatedraftkit.com. You can follow us on Twitter/X at the FF Ballers. Jason's at Jason FFL. I'm at Andy Holloway. Mike is at FF Hitman. And you can subscribe and watch the show. And we'd appreciate it if you'd click that bell. It'll let you know when we go live for special events. You won't miss any new episodes. That's youtube.com/TheFantasyFootballers. We do have a quick question of the day, Jason. Off-season trades question in a keeper league. Dustin in Tennessee wants to know, Says, I'm a commissioner of a keeper league. We keep up to three players each. That is our league of record. We keep three players. One of the guys in the league is asking if we can start doing off-season trades. I'm not sure how well that would work in a non-dynasty league. What do y'all think about off-season trades in a keeper league? We do allow draft pick trades if that matters.
Off-season trades are an awesome and important part of a keeper league to me. I think it's what makes it the best of both worlds, because you get the off-season transactions and you also get in-season real transactions. The waiver wires are hot and all of that. But there are
and a redraft style draft.
Yeah, there are you know, some ways where there's nuance though. For instance, I know some leagues will allow trades before the keeper picks are locked in. So essentially, whatever you finished your roster with at the end of the year, you can be like, well, I'm going to make these trades so that I can make those keeper. I'm going to trade for a new keeper. That to me is dumb. That I don't like that at all.
You're out on that.
I'm out. I think that how you end the year should be like, now you've got to select who your keepers are. Once those are locked in and you're like, okay, going forward in now 2024, my team starts with these three guys and these draft picks. Now that everybody's team knows what they have going forward, trade away.
Some of the most fun we've had has been off-season trades. The way we do it is how you said it. We have a keeper selection time of the year, which is generally after the NFL draft, when the NFL draft is over, because that informs which players are maybe worthy of being kept. As soon as the NFL draft's over, we lock in our keepers, and trading is available throughout the offseason leading up into the draft. And in the middle of the draft, there's often probably, 10, 15 trades that happen in our league in the draft?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they are such a nuisance for me having to put them through, but yes, they're fun.
Well, but half of them are your own nuisance, then.
That's fair.
You're causing your own problems.
You know what? There's something easier about putting my own trade through the system.
You don't say.
Yeah. All right. Hopefully that helps. Let's jump into the news.
News and notes from around the league.
All right. I know, because I've been reading the comments. I've read people's mentions on our posts on Twitter. They want to know what you think about some of these moves. So before we talk about things that just happened, which we will, we'll talk about Keenan Allen and everything else, I have to know just like initial quick reactions or thoughts on the biggest moves that we talked about last week, which I'll just throw a couple out there.
Okay.
You tell me what your reaction was and where you are now. Saquon Barkley to Philly.
I think that was fantastic. The fantasy value of Saquon probably to me is the highest of all the running backs that changed teams. Obviously, goal line vulturing is something he's going to have to deal with. He does not get carries from the one, nor should he, when you have a 98% methodology of scoring a touchdown there. But he's finally on a high-powered offense. He's going to have – he should still score as many touchdowns as he was scoring for the Giants. And with a good offensive line – a good quarterback, good weapons. I didn't see anything last year that made me believe Saquon is losing it. His efficiency numbers, I don't think were poor when factoring in the offensive line. So I'm in on Barkley to the Eagles.
Mike's favorite move, Derrick Henry to Baltimore. Reason to be excited, Gus Edwards, 13 touchdowns last year.
Yeah, it's a little bit the opposite. The offensive line should be better, although Baltimore did lose some pieces in this free agency cycle on the line. I don't think he will be a full true workhorse back. I think that they will mix in multiple guys, but around the goal line, he should have a lot of touchdowns.
Your former favorite, Austin Ekeler, went to Washington.
Oh,
so you had, you know, like we have our famous trade that you rejected. Saquon Barkley and Ekeler moving in this offseason. So
yeah.
Austin Ekeler to Washington, is this like the step before the Viking funeral here?
Yeah, I think it is. I hope the best for you, Ekeler. You're an amazing, awesome, talented player and man. but I don't believe that your fantasy days are going to be good again.
No confidence in Cliff to just figure that out. No rebirth from Cliff.
I do have no confidence in Cliff.
Nice. What about the Falcons' rebirth in general? You brought up Kyle Pitts earlier.
That's so fun.
Kirk Cousins, Darnell Mooney, Rondale Moore?
No.
No, Rondale Moore it helps?
No.
Helps Kirk?
Not really.
Okay.
I do like Darnell Mooney. Darnell Mooney's a good player. Rondale Moore, I've never been convinced, is an actual good player. He's fast. He can break a play here or there. But Darnell Mooney, I think, is actually a very good player. But the real story is Drake London. You know, we've had so much
time. Did you adjust him?
Oh, yeah.
Let's compare.
You're saying where he is in the
where
dynasty?
Where is he on your dynasty startup rankings?
Dynasty starting. Okay.
Wide receiver.
Uh-huh.
I bet he's higher for you than he is for me.
Based on you saying that, I think I'm going to agree. He is in my top 12.
Oh, he's at 10 for me.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's
so,
at 10. Where is he at for you?
He is at 11.
Okay, so we have him. I mean, so that's...
You were wrong. You were
completely wrong. No, I was dead wrong. But Drake London's at 10. And...
He's 22 years old. The talent that you've seen on the field has been outstanding. And over the last couple of years, we've always been like, oh, what if this so-and-so could get a quarterback? What if this wide receiver could get a quarterback? It rarely happens. They always get new quarterbacks, but they're not good enough to actually, you know, change the outcome of the offense and of the yardage and touchdown opportunities. Kirk Cousins is absolutely good enough. Unless the Achilles is something he can't come back from, and I don't believe that, then
neither does the $100 million they gave him.
Exactly. It does not seem like, you know, the doctors are worried here, and it's not like he's a mobile quarterback that's losing what is his strength. His strength is mental processing and accuracy. So
yeah, downfield throwing. What's the redraft? Like, what's the finish? What's the ceiling for him?
The ceiling for Drake London is probably like wide receiver 3.
See, that's I'm between 3 and 5. I believe that. I mean his ADP is shot. It's gone. I mean, it's done. He was the wide receiver 26 on Underdog. He's already up to wide receiver 14. He will be this year's Garrett Wilson, where we had the excitement for what Garrett Wilson could be with Aaron Rodgers, which we didn't get to see last year.
It's true.
Now the question will be, where is this year's Garrett Wilson with Aaron Rodgers coming back?
Who do you have higher, Garrett Wilson or Drake London?
You're talking about that
for Dynasty Startup Ranks.
Garrett Wilson.
I have him ahead as well, but it is interesting because
6 and 10. Yeah.
You know, you've got I presume that you will have more years from Kirk Cousins than you will from Aaron Rodgers. Ironically, both coming off of Achilles.
All right. Calvin Ridley took the money to go to the Titans. That was a bit of a shocker, right? We had Josh Jacobs at Green Bay. Not a destination we expected.
Yeah, I will be so out on Calvin Ridley. So out. Like, I'm not off my board.
That out?
Yeah, I'm definitely out on Calvin Ridley.
Did you happen to catch the press conference?
Yes. I mean... Why did you choose the Titans? You're talking to Tennessee at this point.
Yeah.
This is your press conference of like, welcome. We paid you $92 million. Tell us why you chose us. Well, I wanted to go back to Jacksonville, but the money was, it was pretty... he skirted around it a little bit, but you could see right through it like he was a transparent window, and you just go, oh, you only came here for the money and don't want to be here.
It was something to say he wanted to be with the Jags.
He even included like something along the lines of like, well, you know, there's good teams.
And teams that want to be good.
Trying to be good.
Yeah,
I'm going to play for one trying to be good.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was a Titans fan, I'd be so upset watching that.
All right, let's jump into the news that we have not talked about yet. I know Kyle's on the microphone.
Oh, man.
So he must have broke down, started crying. The Chargers unloaded Keenan Allen to the Chicago Bears for a 4th-round draft pick, coming off a 108 for 1243 in seven season, in which he only played 13 games. If you remember, he didn't. Yeah. They didn't force him back at the end. So arguably his best season ever, and heads to Chicago, who is going to have a brand new quarterback. Caleb Williams will be the quarterback. DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and now Keenan Allen, the offense. Kyle's mad at Greg Roman for shipping off all the weapons because they just want to run the football, but
he should be happy that they shipped him off because they just want to run the ball. You don't want to play for Greg Roman as a wide receiver, but you also don't want to play for a rookie quarterback.
Kyle should let us know where Keenan dropped in, or if he dropped in Underdog. I imagine he did. And yeah, I'm guessing about three or four spots, but I don't think he's going to be crazy because I think people had already adjusted for Greg Roman and the injuries. Is wide receiver 27 where he is now, Kyle?
That's where he's at right now.
Okay. Do you know where he was a week or two ago?
Wide receiver 23.
Four spots.
Okay.
So, in Chicago, is there hope there?
I mean,
we just watched C.J. Stroud turn two top 15 performances out of Nico Collins and Tank Dell. Unexpected.
Yeah, and that's what you're going to hear a lot. And it's
all I got.
True, and it's fair because that did just happen. And Caleb Williams is coming in as a higher touted prospect than C.J. Stroud was. You have better weapons, objectively. I don't care how good Tank Dell and Nico Collins were. Keenan Allen is a better wide receiver, you know, maybe not at the end of everyone's career, but certainly the DJ Moore and Keenan Allen are an unbelievable 1-2 punch here. So is there hope? Yes. Because of, you know, you can point to other things working.
That didn't sound like enthusiasm, though.
It's not enthusiasm. I'll be betting against the success of the Chicago Bears wide receiver core from a fantasy perspective. You know, you got Justin Herbert had a great rookie year. C.J. Stroud had a great rookie year. They supported some good wide receivers. There's a lot more quarterback rookies that have played in the last decade than those two, and those are like the only two you can ever point to. So yes, this next one, Caleb Williams is supposed to be that guy, but so is Trevor Lawrence, so is a bunch of these players that get drafted, and usually rookie quarterbacks do not support multiple or even a single top 36 wide receiver usually.
I mean, what your bad end of the spectrum would be like decline to the tune of what happened to Allen Robinson when he moved teams at the end of his career. Keenan's 31.8 years old, final year of his contract. We did a bunch of dirty math on the Footcast episode, just looking at target shares. This was before he was traded. Thinking about Greg Roman and whether he could still have success there. There was going to be worries in Los Angeles about Greg Roman. I'm not sure my worries are any different under Caleb Williams here. I think they were both going to be a down tick for Keenan Allen. It's just a matter of, will the age push him so far back into drafts that he becomes a value?
I don't think so. I mean, I see what you're saying, and he could. He's talented.
What if you're staring down Keenan Allen in Chicago or Deebo Samuel in San Francisco?
No, there's no question it's Deebo.
What about George Pickens now in Pittsburgh, who has a chance with Russ?
And is now, you know, with Deontay out of town.
Mike Williams visiting that team, by the way.
Man, as it stands right now, I think I'd go George. Georgie Porgy.
Cooper Kupp.
Oh, easy Cooper Kupp.
I figured as much. Yeah. I figured. All right, quick break. Back with some more. Hey, Foot Clan. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So You got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit USAA.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
All right, so Keenan Allen moving to Chicago. This will help Caleb Williams. I mean, talk about a friend to a quarterback. Keenan Allen, always open, reliable, great hands underneath, and Caleb Williams will have every shot to succeed. Those are three. I'm including Cole Kmet. Like, those are three legit weapons to start your career. This is, it's definitely much more what Houston had versus what Bryce Young had to start their career last year. And so, and Caleb Williams, we'll see what he is. We'll see if it's Trevor Lawrence. We'll see if it's Patrick Mahomes. But this is not the only fallout for the Chargers. Mike Williams, goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Eckler, see you later.
It's crazy.
Keenan Allen, farewell. I mean, their depth chart right now, you know, they're running Quentin Johnston and Joshua Palmer out there. They're running Isaiah Spiller. I mean, they'll be drafting a rookie running back. That is a
40%.
I bet my life on it.
40% of their wide receiver targets, 65% of their total targets are gone.
They won't even need that percent, though.
It is
that percent's coming off the total pass attempts.
Right. It's a whole new world, and I think it's one that Chargers fans will enjoy and that fantasy football fans will not.
It's why I like, it makes sense to me. Like, they will have the chance at 5 to draft a top-tier Neighbors, Odunze situation.
Potentially.
But will they do it? Or Bowers?
Potentially Marvin Harrison. In the sense that, like, there, you know, there's been all the rumors of a team trading up, you know, the Vikings trading up to 4 for a quarterback. You could in theory have quarterback go, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. is there. I think that one of the most fascinating things in this draft is whether or not they'll take a wide receiver, because they have a desperate need for it. There will be a top tier wide receiver, which is a premium position.
Blake Corum, number 5 pick.
No, I just can't wait for him to draft a defensive line. They might get an edge in there or something.
But yeah, I would not. I'd be shocked if they didn't spend a later pick on a running back. And they brought in Gus Edwards, which to me, I shared this with Mike, is very annoying. Gus Edwards is not good enough to be the guy, and he's not bad enough to not be involved.
Yeah, that's well said.
All right. Justin Fields. Jason, you had a tweet. We had a debate, a live debate. Justin Fields was traded to the Steelers. Finally shipped out of Chicago. No more distraction.
About 3 minutes after they got Russell Wilson.
Yeah, a conditional 2025 sixth-round pick will become a fourth-round pick if Justin Fields plays more than 51% of the offensive snaps.
Oh, my gosh. All the stuff that Chicago is trying to – they're trying harder than I've ever seen any team try to be like, we did this for Justin. Like, they want everyone to know they're just being so good to Justin Fields. What? No, you're not.
They want Caleb Williams to know how nice they'll be when they ship him out.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
You're referring to a report that they said that they had higher draft compensation offered to them. However, they chose to give him a better shot than be a backup for a super established quarterback.
Well, not only that, but I mean, it wasn't just that report. They've talked about doing right by Justin in this process the whole time, but I love that they trade him in a way that incentivizes that team to make sure he stays the backup. Because if he doesn't stay the backup, it's going to cost you more You're so nice to him. That's so kind, Chicago.
It is actively in Chicago's interest for him not to play.
He will play. He will be the backup. That's already been reported. This isn't, you know, he's coming in to even compete for the starting job, but he's going to play. And the reason he's going to play is because the starter is Russell Wilson. So, it's going to happen. And I will say this. I am happy for Fields to go to a franchise that Fields has some talent, and he has major problems. The way that he takes sacks and holds on to the ball and
accuracy issues.
Yeah, I mean,
sometimes he makes a great throw, sometimes he doesn't. I mean,
the NFL just showed you.
Yeah, yep.
What they believe. Forget fantasy. This is also, if I can just get on the soapbox for a second, this is the most perfect example we've ever had of why I think fantasy football scoring is broken for quarterbacks and should be changed. Because Justin Fields is not a great quarterback, but Justin Fields is a great fantasy quarterback, and those two things shouldn't be the same. They should not. The great quarterbacks that you would want your team to play, that you would want to draft, that you would want to sign for extensions, those are who should be scoring the most
they
fantasy points.
They shouldn't be cheat codes.
Yeah, it's just a cheat
code.
Like
a cheat code tells you.
It's a cheat.
That's not normal. Yeah. Like, that's not how normal winning happens. Yeah, the entire NFL just lets you know that Justin Fields is worth a 6th-round pick. That maybe becomes a 4th.
Yeah.
That, I mean, to credit to the Steelers who, you know, I didn't know what they were going to do this offseason. I thought they might just sit on their hands again and, like, people talking about Mason Rudolph could come back and Kenny Pickett. Like, you did what you should have done.
It was wonderful.
Which was.
They're a well-run franchise. That's why I'm happy Fields is there. Because I think if you can mold him and take the talents that he does have, the you know, he's got some trump cards there, athleticism, and he's got ability. He needs to be brought along, and maybe he can for
the Steelers. It's hard because, you know, Big Ben was special, and then we don't have a proven track record of bringing anybody else along there in Pittsburgh under the current regime. But Russ will start. Fields the backup. They reworked their entire quarterback room for very little money. They sent Kenny Pickett out the door, traded to his hometown Eagles. The Eagles got Pickett and a 4th. Steelers get a 3rd and then a couple of 7ths in 2025. Cardinals swapped Rondale Moore for Desmond Ridder. Everybody out there that said, what do you think of this move? I don't think about it at all.
The Desmond Ridder Rondale Moore?
No, I choose not to think of that move. No.
What move?
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, that's how much I care. But we have a lot of quarterback turnover that's happened.
10 again, which is, when I say again, basically every year there are at least 10 starters in week one who are not starters the next year. This year we got another 10. The last 6 years running, there's been at least 10. The average is 11.3 quarterbacks every season. That started in week one the next year.
Does it change any of your Dynasty Superflex?
It should make you less confident that,
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo probably looked like a pretty good player to have,
that these middling guys, like, obviously the value in a Superflex of the top tier guys is monumental, which is why those first 6-7 picks are always quarterback, probably always should be quarterback. Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere. Josh Allen's not going anywhere till he's done. But when you've got all these other – and it's interesting in rookie picks too, including, you know, the guys this year. You look at Kenny Pickett and Mac Jones and these young players, Sam Howell, who was a starter this whole year. It's like they're basically done. Maybe they'll play again. Maybe I'm sure they'll have more starts in their career when injuries to the starters happen. But, like, for fantasy super flex startups or even rookie drafts, the top of these drafts are so loaded with quarterbacks, and I think sometimes in those super flex leagues, people are making a mistake to do that.
All those quarterbacks you talked about, they just entered their, like, Marcus Mariota, the backup phase. They entered their, you know, they're not going to be looked upon to be a starter. They may fill in from time to time. Sam Howell got traded to the Seahawks. I don't think we talked about that on the show, but it was the Seahawks got Sam Howell in a 4th and a 6th to the Commanders for a 3rd and a 5th.
Oh.
Hollywood Brown.
Hollywood.
Oh, where's the drop?
Yeah, where's the drop?
You want me to hit it?
We got
it. Oh, come on, Al.
Yeah. Come on, Al.
One time. Hollywood Brown, 1 year deal with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Prove it.
I wonder if that Hollywood drop was different than this one. Nope. I thought we had one in a Cardinal uniform.
We definitely had one in a
Cardinal. Were those years so bad that we just blocked? We're going back to Ravens uniform on the drop?
Exactly.
Okay. And now we need to update it again.
Yeah, they were bad, by the way.
Do you care? I mean, obviously you care a little bit, right? Hollywood has been a fantasy producer. He's had a decent career. He's definitely been a relevant wide receiver.
Do I care? I did not expect that question. Yes. I believe that Hollywood Brown is a pretty talented receiver. I'm not a fool, I think.
I would mostly agree.
I don't want to be drawn in under the Kadarius Toney and MBS and Sky Moore and Justin Watson. And look, we know that Mahomes can win without you, mm-hmm. if your name's not Travis Kelce. But I'm curious. He's only 26 years old. I mean, 1 year shot,
yeah.
In Kansas City. The Chiefs, if you listen to episodes earlier this offseason, they have not been throwing the ball deep as much over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are pretty much always now going to be facing, you know, the two safeties back there. They don't want to be beat by Mahomes over the top, and Mahomes is like, all right, I'll beat you under the table.
Under the top.
Under the table, just easy peasy. Hollywood, to me, is a guy that I'm fine with him in best ball, and there's obviously a path towards a breakout fantasy season, but if I had to guess, I would feel like 808 at the end of the year on like 65 receptions, something like that.
He was not that good in Arizona.
No, he wasn't.
He was hurt a lot.
I was going to say he missed a lot of time, and the heel issue this last season was bad. So health could be part of it because he had a 90 reception, 1,000-yard season with the Ravens. And so now you get Patrick Mahomes, and there's a path. He's only 26 years old. He's not past his prime or done. If he's healthy, he could be a good weapon here. But the way that the offense has worked for the Chiefs, I don't expect prolific, you know, counting stats at the end.
Does it hurt your view of Rashee Rice at all?
Not too much, because my view with Rashee Rice was always like I presumed that the 32nd pick in this year's draft was a wide receiver. Every mock draft you see is like,
still could be.
It's Troy Franklin, Xavier Worthy. It could be, but now I don't think it will be. And so I'm just replacing that rookie with Hollywood in my mind.
That makes sense. Yeah, and the difference between Hollywood and, you know, Tony and MBS is that he's not just some player with, like, potential that we've never seen take over a game. Like, Hollywood's had big time games. Do you care more about this signing though? Curtis Samuel, 3-year, $24 million deal with the Buffalo Bills, $15 million guaranteed.
What a stupid, weird. Yeah, I do. I care more about
Curtis Samuel. I think I care more about Curtis Samuel
than
Buffalo.
Hollywood Brown.
I'm kind of in on this move. Are you there too?
I am too.
I didn't know this.
I thought for sure you would not be in on this.
Samuel Bros.
I am kind of in on this. I mean, Gabe Davis has been relevant. Obviously, you got Josh Allen. Stephon Diggs was disappearing. They need another wide receiver as desperately as any team.
He's so multi-talented. He can take snaps out of the backfield if you need him to. He can play the slot. He can challenge you downfield. And
he got some money. I mean, 3-year, $24 million deal, $15 million guaranteed. They are bringing him in to be an important part of an important offense.
Remember how many games last year where you're like, Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, here we go. And then it would just be Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
He's a pretty talented dude. And this is going to be the best quarterback he's had an opportunity to play with, I think.
You think?
I was going back to like Cam Newton, but Cam was not like prime Cam, I think, during the Samuel injury years.
So, like Sam Howell.
Right.
That's the closer debate.
Right, yeah. Joe Mixon, after the trade, which I didn't get your reaction to that, but Talk about a roller coaster for dynasty mixing managers. Goes from, oh no, he might not play. Oh, he's the star. Oh, 3-year extension. Now he's the Texans dude.
It really was. They're going to cut Joe Mixon and replace him with Moss. Nope, they're not cutting him. They're trading him. Extended. It was crazy.
27 years old. Number. Do you know the number he was last year? What he finished at running back? Because I asked Mike this question. Well, take a guess.
8?
I think Mike guessed 8. It was 5.
Oh, wow.
He was the RB5 last year. Texans team that can run the football. Singletary looked good there, despite the offensive line issues. If they can solidify that line.
There was almost no running back at the end of last year that impressed me more than Joe Mixon. When he was, I mentioned it in one of our early offseason episodes, how much he reminded me of James Conner at the end of the previous season for the Cardinals, where
yes,
you don't have your starting quarterback. And you're playing with a backup, and the team knows you're going to get the ball, and you're just picking up extra yards on every single play. And he really did well down the stretch, more than I thought he could or should have done. And so getting a 3-year extension, being part of an awesome offense, I like this landing spot.
Here's my one concern, okay? We were kind of okay with Mix in the last year or two because we knew he'd get everything. He had 80.8% of the rush share in Cincinnati. His consistency rank was a B, 70% of the time over 10.5 fantasy points. He had 21 red zone attempts. To me, he's going to have to do more around the goal line in Houston to make up for probably sharing a little bit more work with Dameon Pierce. Do you think that will be the case, or do you think...
I don't think that'll be the case.
Devin Singletary's...
I don't think it'll be the case. Dameon Pierce is not this regime's dude. Down the stretch, Dameon Pierce's snap counts were 14%, 5%, 15%, 20%. That's not even a healthy backup. That's just, you know, a give a guy a breather type of snaps.
Yeah, on the year he was 46% of the rush share, but over the back half of the year.
Yeah, because at the beginning of the year, they're like, Dameon Pierce is going to be our guy.
16% of snaps over the last 7 games.
Yeah, exactly. The beginning of the year before their bye week, he was up at 50% of the snaps, 49% of the snaps. We like to be accurate here. And then they were like, he's not getting it done. And so then they switched to Singletary, and then they trade for Mixon and extend him. Mixon's their guy.
Right, right. No, the extension proves it. Michael Gallup designated as a post-June 1st release. Boy, did they get literally nothing for that extension for Michael Gallup?
Yeah, pretty much.
That was post-injury, right?
Correct. He was already, he got hurt. Had his ACL.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we made the right decision with Amari Cooper. We'll prove it to you. And then 34 receptions and 400 yards later.
He's on the so they void a third. He would have made $13 million and then $15 million. Is it, Kyle, is that money gone off the books? That's not money owed, right?
They have to pay him $9.5 million and then 8.7 next year. Like they paid a ton of money for him to not play for them.
I mean, I know the answer will be more than this, but if you told me he caught 5 passes from the time he got the contract, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds about right. 5 passes worth of impact. That's a wild one. And he was never the same.
No, he wasn't, but he'll sign somewhere and people will draft him.
All right. Let's take another quick break. We've got more news to talk about. We've got some mailbag questions. Be right back. This episode is brought to you by The Deal. The line between business and sports is getting blurrier by the day. To understand it all, check out The Deal, a podcast co-hosted by Yankees legend Alex Rodriguez. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, and executives like Derek Jeter, Maria Sharapova, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into the world of sports, business, media, and entertainment, and dives into the wins, losses, and lessons learned along the way. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, listen to new episodes of The Deal on Spotify every Thursday.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. 7-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. hosted by Kevin Hart. Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, we did have Minnesota trading to get the 23rd pick. Jason, did you see that move?
I did see that. I have. I hope I've seen all the moves here. But yes, the presumption from a lot of pundits out there are this is a move in order to move up for quarterback.
They have some ammo.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
Denver's at 12. Mm-hmm. Minnesota's at 11, and I feel like those two teams could fight over J.J. McCarthy.
For sure. And how high they're able to, you know, rise up is a question. Do you want to get to the Cardinals at 4? Do you want to try to? I saw the funniest thing. Man, I wish I could give credit. See if you can find the tweet, Kyle. But someone had a great thought. So basically, KJ Osborne signed a one year deal with the Patriots.
Yes, that just broke.
Yes, that move basically assured the Vikings of a third round
a compensatory
pick with the way that the math and the free agency went this offseason. And so it was like, could the Patriots have conspired? We will sign him so you can get an extra third so we can have your third and take the number 3 pick back to the 12 with the haul. And it's okay because we basically manufactured you another third round pick.
They paid for it.
That's really funny.
I
loved the concept.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. They're going to need a lot more than 11 and 23 to move up to 3. That's for sure. AJ Dillon, 1 year deal back with the Packers. 5.3 a carry, 4.3 a carry, 4.1 a carry, 3.4 a carry. At this rate, he could be going backwards soon.
Yeah, but Josh Jacobs, I think, has also been going backwards. We didn't talk about that. I mean,
give me your impression here.
I am.
They obviously made the move. They decided to go with youth over paying Aaron Jones.
I don't blame the Packers for making the move. I think it's a decent financial and wise move for the Packers. But I do believe Josh Jacobs will be a worse running back this coming year for the Packers than Aaron Jones was this past year.
I do think Aaron Jones is a better runner. I just, durability has been an issue. All right, anything else? Oh, Lions re-signed Donovan Peoples-Jones. Rams signed Jimmy G. Adam Trautman re-signed. Oh, Mike's not here. Jay Grizz, big fan.
Yeah, he is my tight end 51 in startup rank, as I found that out today. So, congrats.
You didn't move him up?
Trautman.
After this signing?
No, but I didn't move him down either. So, he 51, stayed right there at 51.
So, in your 4 tight end leagues, he's relevant.
Yeah. Yep.
Jason, you got the
doing the mailbag here?
You got
here?
The pipes?
Mailbag.
Mailbag!
Okay.
Not good.
Not good.
Not good.
No, but I think it was a lack of enthusiasm that hurt you.
I tried to pull back.
I noticed.
And
yeah, we could tell.
And it didn't work.
So. I won't put you on the spot again. I just, yes, next time I want more effort.
All right.
And yes, I will. Mike will probably be gone on Thursday, so.
Okay. I get
maybe we'll pick one
of
the deucers. You know who won't have that shot to do it? It's Brooks.
Oh.
So maybe a Brooks mailbag on Thursday.
Oh, maybe. Stay tuned.
Brooks, you want to get in front of the mirror and practice?
We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
All right.
This just in. Brooks, sick on Thursday.
All right. If you have a question for the show, you can go to the website. TheFantasyFootballers.com.
Did you forget our website?
No.
Okay, good.
Visit the website and click the Submit a Question button or dial our voicemail hotline, 302-464-TFFB. All right, we've got some voicemail questions. Jason, you ready?
I am.
Howdy, Ballers. I'm JP from Virginia. I'm 11 years old. I need some help with my running back keepers. I'm already keeping Tyreek Hill, so I've only got one spot between Jahmyr Gibbs and Saquon Barkley. Please help me. I lost the title game last year to my mom. P.S.
Ooh.
They had a Jay Grizz for me.
Okay, Jay Grizz says hi back. I think that was...
Was it
JP? Is that the name?
Yeah, JP.
JP.
Thank you.
Gibbs and Saquon. That's Gibbs, a tough one.
It really is. I
think I'd go Gibbs.
I will go Gibbs as well. Gibbs was the running back 10 this last year, despite missing two games and being a rookie. I like.
But if you were a big Eagles fan,
well, sure. I mean, if you, I think it's close.
Is it that close?
It is close enough. It's close enough where if it's like, I love the Eagles, we got our guy Saquon. I don't. I think there's
JP's a big Eagles fan.
I think there's a compelling argument that could be made for either one of these guys over the other. For me, I usually side on youth and explosiveness. I think Saquon is still an explosive athlete, an above-average running back, but he's not. He doesn't have the juice that Jahmyr Gibbs has right now. He will have, I believe, more of the role. And it's ironic because both of these guys aren't really projected to be the goal line back, right? David Montgomery and Jalen Hurts are their team's goal line back.
I think there's some hope in Philadelphia that – or not in Philadelphia, but hope in the fantasy community that Saquon will get more goal line, one, because he's good at it, two, because Jason Kelsey's retired.
Sure, the tush-push
might
not work.
And so the
tush-push
might not be as successful.
I think, you know, inside the five, Saquon will get work, but that is outside the one.
Right.
It's
right.
Like if you're at the one, it is going to be the touch.
Any advice for JP, 11 years old, but lost to his mom in the title game?
Keep Gibbs.
Is that more chores? I mean, what is the.
More chores.
I mean, do you get punished?
Well, is that advice for the mother? I mean, the mother should definitely give him more chores for winning. Hold that over
him. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what you want to do, if you're going to the championship game, like against a family member, you've got to put something on the line. You got to, and we're not talking money. We're talking stuff like chores,
yeah,
tasks.
If maybe this next year, like
foot massage.
If you beat mom, she'll do your homework for you.
Oh, okay. So like cheating.
For a week.
Perfect. Great.
Is that cheating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think the school wants me doing my child's homework for them. I think if they would say
what a goody two shoes.
This essay was excellent.
All right.
I know it wasn't your son's.
It was ChatGPT. You know that.
Right.
That's all I meant by doing their homework. I'd plug it into ChatGPT. Jalen, which part of the NFL offseason do you like more, prefer talking about? Free agency or the NFL draft?
Draft.
Yeah. I guess I agree with that. Although,
love
they're both very fun.
Yeah.
The news breaking for free agency is exhilarating.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that it's just time, right? Like free agency it's like a week of awesomeness. But the draft, you've got a month of scouting, a month of preparation, and then you get a couple days of just all the answers. And then afterwards, you start talking about it again.
You're not going to like this next one.
Okay. Don't read it. go to the following question.
Now, Mr. _ Feeney 104, love the show. What do you think about the proposed 18-game schedule and the fantasy impact? Because we are getting 18 at some point.
For sure. I don't have any problem with it. When the new CBA was signed several years ago, we knew then. I think we forget now that we knew then, but we knew it was going to go to 17 and then 18. So this has always been the presumption. We can have one more game. Everyone will have 1,000-yard seasons.
That's the funniest, because that doesn't get out of your psyche.
No. Oh,
everybody that gets
1,000
yards, you got a whole extra game now. 17 games, and it's still a benchmark.
Yeah, that will always be the benchmark because it's such a run. That's 55 yards a game. 55!
At 17 or 18 games?
At 18.
Yeah. That's not a lot.
No, if you're like, hey, my running back went out and had 55 yards.
10 for 55 and no touchdowns.
Be like
1,000-yard runner.
Yeah, that guy sucks.
Tyler in Pittsburgh, you will be selecting just one player to keep from last season. Oh, we will be selecting just one player to keep from last season in our league. Should the draft order be randomized before or after our keeper selections are finalized?
If it's random, why would it make a difference? Am I misunderstanding
the
question?
I don't understand the question. We will be selecting just one player to keep from last season.
Okay, so one keeper
in our league.
Got it.
Should the draft order be randomized before or after our keeper slot? Okay, so now I do understand.
Oh, okay.
I do understand.
Yeah,
we're dumb. Just wants to know, like, do you make the keeper selections first or after the draft order, which is randomized? because that might determine what keepers you'd pick. I think you should pick them first and then randomize it.
Yeah, I would lean that way as well.
We did it, Jay. We got it. Here's another voicemail question.
Hey, what it do, ballers? This is the biggest poopy loser face of the Toquan Dynasty League, a.k.a. Wallaby here, and here's my question. What player are you most scared about losing dynasty value from the NFL draft? Thanks, guys. Appreciate the show.
There's so much poop in that.
Which player are you most scared of losing dynasty value in the NFL draft? Do you have somebody that pops to the top of your mind? I'm gonna browse a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I could see a world where it happens, but I don't believe it's gonna happen, so I don't have fear. Like Kyren Williams,
sure,
is the type of player where there's not a lot to the depth chart, and if that team decided they needed to take a high end running back and they take the first running back off the board, that would answer this question. I don't think it's going to happen. So I'm not really afraid of it. Other than
that's part of the equation is whether you think these teams are going to lean in on those. There's been several big impact free agency situations. I mean, to me, Jordan Addison dropped down a few rungs with the move of Kirk Cousins. He's a deep threat. He reminds me a lot of Darnell Mooney type of talent, and when you don't have accuracy throwing it deep, it might hurt you. You know, is your view on Justin Jefferson going to change in a dynasty league if they don't draft a quarterback? If you go into the season with Sam Darnold on a one-year deal? I think it's a fair question. You brought up, I mentioned it on the show because you had talked about it. There were, you know, the Juju Smith-Schusters of the world that were the number one pick in dynasty drafts that just, you know, it evaporated.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've had that several times. It's funny because, like, it's hard now to think of Michael Thomas as what he was. Michael Thomas was super young, a superstar, the number one fantasy finisher at wide receiver with what appeared to be a decade left of value. He got injured. Okay, well, whatever. Everybody, you know, people get injured. His career's done. Once he got that injury, he never had a fantasy relevant season again. He now is cut and does not have a team. It's almost unthinkable to say, like, Justin Jefferson. It just sounds stupid if I'm like, well, Justin Jefferson's done. No, he's not done. He's so good. But it's like, okay, but this is the NFL. And crazy things like that happen. It would have been just as impossible to think about that for Michael Thomas. Couldn't come back from this injury, got re-aggravated. Couple years go by, didn't have the right quarterback anymore. Drew Brees was gone. It's like, okay, Justin Jefferson got injured. He doesn't have Kirk Cousins anymore. If he gets injured again this year and the quarterback issue is a problem and they draft the wrong guy or don't have a solution, maybe he's all of a sudden close to done. And I'm not going to say that. You couldn't say that. He's just too talented. But that was the thought process with Juju at one point. That was the thought process with Michael Thomas at one point. So when you do think that these guys at the very top of your dynasty, you know, your Ja'Marr Chase and CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson are just invincible decade-long assets, it is not a guarantee.
I have three names that I think could be impacted by NFL draft picks in a significant way. One.
Are any of them George Pickens?
George Pickens is the first one.
That's my answer to.
Yeah, because if they took a high-profile wide receiver.
Which they need to.
It changes. Well, they're visiting with Mike Williams. We'll see. So Pickens is one. Stephon Diggs. After the Samuel signing, if they happen to draft another one. And Diggs is already tweeting random things again. And I'm going to throw one more out there that is interesting. Nick Chubb.
Oh, okay. I see that a lot. Because you want the depth chart to stay his.
Right.
To have him allowed to come back on a good timeline. If they usurp him with talent, he might not have the opportunity that he would require coming off of a brutal injury. That's a good name.
Yeah, I struggle with him on my dynasty rankings right now on where to put him. YouTube question from Swag Hawks says, how do I get my five-year-old into football? Can you go to my camera right here? There's this fine book over here. It's called My Football Family, and you can pick that up. And then if they read it 10 times, they will become an NFL player.
Man.
Yeah.
I should have read. Is there a Is there an age limit, or can you do that at
any age? Up to five.
Oh, so you better get on it. You got a five-year-old now. Don't wait till next year.
You know, a lot of people thought that, like, our kids all played fantasy really young, having done this for a job. My son probably really started getting into it at 7 or 8 when he enjoyed just watching games with me. You know, one of them doesn't enjoy it at all. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it goes. So I think it's the same answer for any hobby.
Right.
If you do it with the kid and play football and watch football and they like it, then they'll probably get into it.
Right. You can't always make kids like certain things.
No. No. All right. Keeper question. Chris wants to know, keep two. Jason Bijan?
Yeah, I'll keep one. The Bijan.
Puka?
I'll keep two. That was easy. Bijan and Puka.
Kyren.
Oh, come on, man.
Full PPR.
Ugh.
Give me the running backs. Yep. Give me the running backs.
Yep, I'm with you.
And Matt in New York, hey, Ballers Dynasty question. Would you rather have Kyle Pitts in the 202 or Garrett Wilson?
Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson. Yeah, that's for sure. All right, on Thursday, we're going to cover biggest free agency winners and losers, unless like 30 more things happen, and then we'll just talk about those, and then we'll talk about winners and losers. But it's been a wild, crazy offseason. We've already got some Dynasty trades flying around in our leagues. And, I mean, some trade offers that have just been just gross, just awful. But that's fantasy football. Dynasty I find to be the most difficult to trade because people's viewpoint on it is so – the spectrum is so wide on what they think a player will be long-term, short-term. You don't know if the person that you think is building for the future is building for the present. You don't know if the person building for the present is actually going to rebuild. You never know what the opponent's doing.
Yeah, but oftentimes you look at their team and you know what they should do.
You do, but they don't. I mean, they
like, why are you not taking this deal? You're not making the playoffs. And then they're like, I'm making the playoffs. And then they don't take the deal. Okay. And then they don't make the playoffs. And you laugh in their face.
Sorry, Brandon. All right, that'll do it for today.
It was hypothetical.
Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Back with you on Thursday. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.